So yeah, the studio is still not really, you know, put together at all. Like, there's just junk behind me from boxes that I needed to try and find stuff to set up the workspace. And then, but, you know, going to go for a vibe more like the SERP over there with some photos and shit on the wall, maybe get some AI out, maybe some, you know, throw print glitter bombs at the wall or something.
Print some NFTs.
No NFTs?
NFTs? Were there any Juno NFTs I could put up there? I can't remember how that all, were there NFTs associated with that?
I mean, why would you put up a Juno NFT?
Ah, you know, I feel like it'd be fun, like the fucking, the Juno, the, you know, that big kerfuffle that was on Prop 16. Yeah, baby.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
Hello, welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams where we have absolutely no technical issues whatsoever. I have no idea what happened there. The intro just went into the dark dimension. And
I think we both pressed it at the same time.
I think that's exactly what happened. I think
I was so surprised. I went to take a drink for my cup of tea and I lifted up this, which is a paint pot. I don't know if you can see that. And it is full of, I think, magenta ink. And at the very last second, I thought, am I certain that I am about to drink a lovely cup of tea? And so I checked, and I was not. Which means my evening's going great. How are you, fellas?
Well, you stopped yourself, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm unironically saying.
Unironically.
Great. I didn't drink the poison.
Although you didn't even go through with it.
Yeah, it's not oil. You know what I've just realized? It's acrylic. It's not oil, so it's not even toxic.
Ah, you've been fine. The hell?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just realizing regrets at the moment. Potential regrets. It's the middle of winter and it is hot in this office. So it's also 7 a.m. and hot in this office. That means summer could be quite hot in Brisbane, apparently.
You have AC on?
No, I don't have the AC on. No. I have the window open. It's quite humid because it's been raining for like 3 days.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It is winter and I am in a t-shirt, so, and I haven't really had any call to get out a jumper yet since we got here in the middle of winter.
What your life is like now.
It's exactly.
Sorry, I missed. I was reading what Rama said. He said, we're going to shit. Everything's falling. He's upset. He hasn't been paid because we've got no money.
I like the criticism coming along because, like, you know, as we know, what's happened recently is I finally get 6 hours of sleep a night. So my life is just like up and up. I remember what sleep is. I've been going to business meetings, right? And I was about to say talking like a human, and then I realized that I was going to immediately get sledged by Null for even suggesting that I can do that. But at least not sounding like a complete fucking moron. It has been great. I even went to a fucking crypto conference the other week, which you know.
That's your fucking reward?
Is this the one where there was
my life was so good. I went to a crypto conference last week.
Yeah, and then it turns out, well, I mean, whatever. You don't need any social skills to be at a crypto conference. It is what it is. Anyway, social skills are required for trying to maintain and build a business. They're not. Yeah, crypto is a different world. Sharp inhale of breath, like you were going to jump in and say something.
SERP or me? I'm trying to pay a bill for some servers. These places that, like, do you guys have any server providers that, like, don't have automatic payments?
Yes.
And then they send you a fucking invoice every month and you have to go and log into their shit and pay it?
Our AWS bill is on a invoiced.
Turn auto pay off for that, did you?
Yes, for obvious reasons.
That's maybe a good one to not have auto pay.
Yeah, we get a projection and then we get a bill. And we did have that for OVH, but then we switched over to auto pay. Although we've just had a whole thing recently where because we ordered some specific spec servers for one of the high performance testnets, they then couldn't deliver the exact box in the exact data center because somebody else had got there and got it first, and they only had a certain number in inventory of this really specific spec. So they got like literally pretty much the same thing, but like instead of being server 9,240, it was like 9,870, like, you know, some different box was pointed to by the invoice. So they had to reissue this invoice, and then it turned out they'd also screwed up the cost a little bit and it should have been slightly different. So then they refunded us. They issued us a credit note saying that you don't have to pay the full amount. You pay the original amount minus the credit note, because I think they maybe had already issued a request for payment. And then they issued that one twice. This was all like a while ago. So we just like paid it at the time, went, forgot about it. And then it's, we've just had been doing like end of quarter accounts for like two ago or something like that. And there's just this like, this question comes through like, you had two invoices, two credit notes, and then a final consolidation note all in one day. What the fuck? And you're like, yeah, I guess our server provider just had like a fit or something, like whatever, man. Yeah, so after that, we turned auto billing on.
Just let it go.
Pain in the butt. Yeah, it was just like, dude.
Let it ride, baby.
Let it ride.
Yeah. If you're spending an hour like trying to work out an itemized bill for like, these are the hard drives you've ordered, these are the blah, blah, blahs you've ordered, trying to work out what the difference is between the one list and the second list and the credit note, you're like, this has already wasted too much of my time.
Are you going to name and shame the provider or...?
No, because we still use them and they actually are quite good. But
and you think they watch this fucking podcast?
No, I don't. No, obviously they don't. Obviously they don't. But I think the point is that you're just sledging a provider of yours when, you know, 99% of the time they do a great job, especially over something as boring as like invoicing. Like they screw up an invoice. You know, it's a bit annoying, but it's no skin off my nose. So,
well, listen up, providers. To the assholes that don't have fucking automatic billing, get it. Thank you.
Are you going to name any names? No.
You know who you are. You know,
right. So you're not prepared to name and shame either. So, you know, you can understand my hesitancy too.
It was very hard to find this bespoke provider.
Yeah. Okay. What do you use for them?
We use the same. We're talking about the same one, right? You and I use the same one.
Yeah, there's a couple that don't have auto.
I'm getting rid of. Yeah. I'm getting rid of them.
Their hard drives are bad as well. I don't know if you monitor the hard drives, but I thrash them after 3 months. They're dead. So DED dead baby. But they still work. They're up to like 150% wear level.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think. I don't know if it's with them or not, but I do have a couple with their like 255% wear level or something like that. As long as they keep going. They just actually replaced some drives for me too, so it wasn't that big deal.
Did they?
Yeah. Oh wait, is it them or somebody else? It might have been somebody else. I don't remember who the fuck I was talking to.
So they're the only one other than what's that really bad fucking provider?
Contabo.
They're the only ones other than Contabo that I've seen use consumer drives, and it's pretty annoying.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Everyone else likes enterprise drives.
Yeah,
yeah, like enterprise drives. Fucking, you know, one drive write per day, you're not killing those drives. That is a lot of drive write. Yeah.
We've been mostly pretty lucky with that shit, except our own stuff. I don't know, whatever. Maybe it's one of the DCs we're in is a little bit warm, but boy, we burned through them there too. So that's annoying.
Hard drives?
NVMEs, yeah.
Are they like enterprise NVMEs or are they?
They are. They are.
And you're burning through them? Shit.
Yeah. They just go a little bit faster than, I mean, they last a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Two and a half years or something like that, which for us.
Yeah, you definitely like, if you shell out for a drive, you really notice the difference, like between the quality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then if, you know, you look at the price of some of these things and you go, Jesus, that's ridiculous. But then like you use it and you're like, oh, it's good. It's fast and it doesn't die.
Overpaying for shit that doesn't break is like the story of my whole life.
Yeah.
Why?
So we don't have any news this week, boys.
Yeah, I know. News we have, like, out,
and
huh?
We also don't have Schultzy in the he's in the phase right now where I think last year you guys were sledging me for still using, I think we were still on Kubernetes for some stuff on AWS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the big bills were coming in, and then we've obviously been seeing how Schultzy's been doing the last week or so, and I'm like, I remember why we were happy to pay for the absolutely will not go down under any circumstances version of the hardware for a couple of months there, because I couldn't form a sentence. So like, so that, like, you know, you, it seems like the maximum sleep you get is like 60 minutes and then they're up and screaming again. It's like, oh yeah, that's totally normal. Like that
pretty much,
that is literally, yeah. That's not going to improve. That's not, the baby's not abnormal. That's just what all babies do. You, this is your life now.
Yeah. I think, I think Schultzy is deep in that, period.
Yeah. Month one, something like that.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if you're 4 or 5 weeks in, like,
feeling the pain.
Yeah.
The first 6 weeks is just getting your head kicked in every single day.
It's just staying alive.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, it's just like whatever has to be done to keep everybody sane and sleeping as much as possible and fed and, like, you know, like keeping sanity. Because those are really rough. I mean, joke about them, but like people go through a lot of shit in those weeks. So,
I genuinely, after we got through them, I was like, I literally do not understand why people are allowed to go. Like I know that I get that, like, some places are just like, you don't get a pat leave or whatever. And
yeah.
Because blah, 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 it cost the business money or whatever. And it's just like, literally, I did no work that wasn't pure survival in those first 6 weeks. Like, I think we had an Aptos stress net, like a high performance network thing. And then a whole bunch of shit like came up, which was unfortunate because it was not at my best. But like, yeah, fuck. If I was employing somebody, I would just be like, dude, just fucking take 6 weeks off, because the last thing I need is you breaking something because you're literally too tired to function.
Yeah.
Just go. When the baby stops, like, starts sleeping for more than like 60 minutes at a time or whatever, then come back to work, right? You're probably not even safe to fucking drive a car at this point, so there's no point you coming to work. Well, I don't know. But yeah, probably. It's probably fine. Well, I don't know. I just remember it being like, you know, when you have you ever had extreme insomnia?
Yeah. Yes, twice.
When you know, when it's like, it's like that, you know, the thing in Fight Club where it's just like everything is a copy of a copy of a copy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's like in really low resolution. That's just like, it felt like that at the time, and it obviously feels like that in hindsight, but like at the time it was just like, what is going on? It's a hell of a trip, but hey.
Yeah, so Schultz's in it. Maybe we'll see him next week.
We'll see
and then somebody else might disappear for 3 or 4 weeks. See what happens.
Yeah, you know, we've booked a date for the revealing.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I'm probably going to be dead for quite a while, just as Schultzy and the Frey has been. Looking forward to it.
Should note that I only took, I think, 1 week off the podo because it literally was the birth.
I didn't take any weeks off the podo.
I had 7 days off, I think, and then straight into Aptos Stressnet. And we were still, I went back to work before my other half could even get down the stairs after the operation. So it was like doing everything I could and then just like also trying to do everything around that. It was hilarious. I was like, it was like a cartoon of a guy with plates and baby and laptop.
Sorry. Good times. It'll be good. You know, the good news is it all happens in real time.
Yeah.
Like everything's at 1-to-1 speed. Meaning either sleeping or not sleeping. You just kind of go with it. That's it.
You do really, like, if you didn't like sleep before in your life, there's a reason all parents talk about sleep, is because you get a very, very newfound appreciation for not being awake.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
Yeah, everyone I've talked to now is like, get in some good sleep-ins now, like, you know, embrace the embrace the freedoms of
sleep. You are not going to have a lion ever again until, I don't know, maybe you serpent, do you get lions when they're a bit older?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so at some point you will get lions again.
As soon as they're up on their own, they know how to grab breakfast or grab something to eat or turn a TV on or do something, you're fine. Right? Like five, six? They're not starting the...
Four or five. Yeah. Okay. So in 5 years' time,
four's you get a lion. Young.
Four, 5 years.
Four, they're coming upstairs.
Yeah, five,
they're doing their own thing.
Yeah.
For the most part. At least now my kids are sleeping in. Like they sleep in. Like they'll sleep until 10 or something, which is if we don't wake them up, which is great.
At what age can they start to like use Linux?
Straight out of the womb, man. Straight out of the womb.
Here's your fucking ledger. You got the night shift.
Why would you give them a ledger? Why would you ruin Linux by giving them a ledger?
You gotta give them the exactly. Here's your upgrade schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the keys of the kingdom.
If you need some shit coins, they're going to earn you no money and be a constant burden to your mental well-being.
If you need a snapshot.
If you need a snapshot, you can...
Call Unky Pokachu.
Yeah. But wake me up.
Yeah. All right. I got to step out, unfortunately.
Oh, will you be back or is this it?
That's the question.
Dad's going out for cigarettes.
Going out for cigarettes.
Once again. So there's some... What the hell did he just do before he left? That was weird. There's been some green... I mean, I don't want to do price checks. It's kind of, whoa, what the fuck? Don't do that. There we go. Thank you. That was disturbing.
Yeah, prices are pretty wrecked. It's not been enjoyable.
Well, they are, but they are sort of edging upward again after, you know, the massively not edging downward.
Yeah, but that's what it does. There's a big hole and then it edges back up a little bit and then it's like the slow death down until something happens for it to go up a lot. So we're in the slow death at the moment. You can see it's tracking sideways but down.
Yeah, but, you know, that was always going to be the case until there were new use cases, which there are not yet.
So. We're still waiting for that catalyst, Mr. Gray.
Yeah.
So we've had the happening. We are sitting around on the deck couches just waiting for the catalyst, which, you know, I mean, maybe it has something to do with the election in the US. Probably
inflation needs to change as well.
IRL inflation,
people need more disposable income before they, I mean, at the end of the day, like for a lot of people, crypto is more about being an unregulated casino than it is like that's not fair. There's the Rama thesis, right? And then there's the unregulated casino thesis. So number one is that it's basically an unregulated casino. People want to do it for long bets to make a bit of money and whatever. And they're only going to do that when they have the money to spend because it's more of a luxury than it is like a gambling addiction or whatever. Although I'm sure there probably are some people addicted to the rush of trying to trade shit coins, right? But then there's the other group, which is the Rama thesis, which is that people just want to have fun, forget about their day job, and just dabble a bit in some random cool shit. And the Rama thesis again relies on people having a bit of disposable money to throw into the mixer in the first place, right? Yeah. So I think both of those are very reliant on the state of the IRL economy, and where we are currently is very, very, very not conducive to that. So. And that's on top of there being like kind of a no new ideas in crypto at the moment, it feels like.
Yeah, I think there are some new things on the horizon. Like I probably said before, I think the most exciting thing for me at the moment is going to be the chain abstraction and account abstraction. I think that's important as a way to penetrate like the normal society, the non-tech people of the world into crypto. But other than that, yeah, I mean, there's like Bitcoin staking. I've heard people talking about...
But I mean, again, account abstractions, like you still need something to do with that account.
Yeah, but I mean, it opens the door for like normies to the for the blockchain casino, right?
Yeah. So, but that's my point. It only works on it works mainly to add liquidity to the blockchain casino. I think it does smooth the rails for the fun thing a bit, but I don't. I think my gut feeling is that I am right about why it doesn't actually fundamentally solve a lot of the underlying problems with the way we abstract and the way that we compose protocols. But I will also say that VHS versus Betamax, right? Just because I might be on the money about the account abstractions being basically a whole bag and nothing, it doesn't change the fact that I am wrong about the idea that they're not going to make a lot of people enter the ecosystem and make some people a lot of money. Because consistently, like, what was the one thing we learned from the whole Cosmos experience? And I'm sorry to put the Cosmos experience in the back, in the rear view mirror, but I think a lot of Cosmos is not going to ride a future wave. Like, unfortunately, that is probably the reality.
So are you bearish the whole ecosystem, or are you just bearish certain parts of the ecosystem?
If the ecosystem responds to upward pressure by innovating in the face of that, then I will become less bearish. In its current form, I am very, very, very bearish. But I think, like, the one thing I would say that we've learned from the last bull and bear cycle in Cosmos is that all of my thoughts on what is right and wrong are rubbish, because
just inconsequential.
Well, I don't mean this to, like, say that, oh, la la la, I'm so clever, ha ha ha. More the opposite, right? That none of my ideas or takes are dumb enough to actually reflect reality. Like, the one or two times where I've done something really, really dumb as, like, a business decision were quite often the most, like, profitable or the most sensible in terms of business decisions in the eco, or, like, opinions where I was like, as I thought it, I was like, it's quite a dumb opinion. And then it turned out that was actually, like, the thing that happened that ended up moving the thing, if that makes any sense. Like, every time I thought, like, this is a problem that needs to be solved and the solution is complex, or this is a product that needs to exist or a project that needs to exist, and it's pretty complex, you know, those things didn't end up working. Whereas, like, the really dumb things always seem to work. Like, the Chihuahua is a case in point, right? Like, I was literally like, there's no point validating that chain. That's, like, the absolute pinnacle of my not seeing that it doesn't matter that a thing's a dumb idea, it can still succeed if it's dumb.
Yeah, well, yeah, if not just for a little while. I mean, I don't... Yeah,
but nothing's forever, dude. Like, everything succeeds temporarily. Sick transit gloria, baby.
What?
Glory fades.
I don't know. Different generation. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, glory fades? I thought you were talking about a person.
I thought you were talking
about a person named Glory Fades. Oh, okay. I was like, who the fuck
first
is that?
Name Glory, second name Fades.
Yeah.
Like, who is this? Where is this come from?
Fucking, is this like... Field?
Are they a guest on Twitter next week? I did once see a great Twitter meme, which was just a lady standing by a Ford Transit van, and the caption for the meme was, in inverted commas, as if it was being shouted, and then the words were written in all caps. It just said, "Sick transit, comma, Gloria, exclamation mark." And I was like, yeah, it's good. It's a little play on a Latin expression, but also a play on the Ford Transit in meme form. Anyway, that was me describing a visual meme in words, verbally. So anyway, how do you feel? Because obviously I'm bearish. It feels like you are not on the eco.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's played out. There's like a lot has happened in a couple of years, and you know, some things have been good, other things have been bad, very bad. People have come and gone from the eco. But I think overall, like, it's been interesting seeing people pick up the tendermint and the modularity of Cosmos and adding in, you know, their own flavor to stuff. Like, just the whole app chain thing, people being able to, like, pretty easily try their ideas, whether they're, you know, good or bad or marketed well or poorly, good or bad for you know, users in general. It's just been, I think, a pretty decent vehicle for people to try their thing. And I think it continues to be so. And even, you know, highly marketed things doing stuff completely different, like Bearachain using the consensus but then tacking on, like, the EVM side, like they did recently, is pretty interesting to me. And you continue to get people pulling out the consensus side and then building, like, entirely different parts to the other side to try and be more compatible with the rest of crypto. I think it's fully played out. I think people are going to come with more ideas. There could be, like, you know, some killer app chains yet. Like,
I think what you've alighted on there, though, perhaps, is more about the fact that maybe Tendermint is, like, quite a known quantity at this point, because a lot of the change you're talking about, their execution layer is different. So, you know, they're not Cosmos chains in the sense they don't use the Cosmos SDK.
The stack, yeah,
they're Tendermint chains, and some of them don't even speak IBC, do they?
Well, I think they have the ability to, but just not on purpose.
Well, IBC, if you don't have the Cosmos SDK, you don't ship natively with IBC. You'd have to implement it.
Yeah, I'm not a programmer, so I'd presume that it wouldn't be too hard to implement.
It might. Well, it depends. It depends.
But, I mean, people don't necessarily want IBC either, remember?
Yeah.
You know, there's bridges out there that have been working for a long time now. Some have not been hacked.
that's a whole other thing. I wouldn't really know about that. It's not like I've been writing a paper on that anyway.
In other news, congratulations on getting out your questionnaire
after notice. 6 months of ethics approval process.
I noticed some quite pointy questions in there that may or may not be related to happenings past in the ecosystem.
Well, there are a couple of pointy questions in there because...
Just for some context, this is related to Cosmos-only ecosystem, right? It is not...
Yeah, so I'm doing two things. I'm doing two things at the moment. I'm doing a questionnaire that has gone out on validator private channels. So it's only open to validators, encouraging validators to take part. It's about 20, 25 minutes worth of multiple choice questions, maybe depending on it's about 25 questions. So I guess a minute a question. I'd probably rattle through it more quickly because I don't always read these things as well as I should. Anyway, so there's that component, which is what we're talking about here. And then also I'm conducting some audio interviews with operators, and that's not necessarily just the Cosmos ecosystem, because we'll be talking about experience in other ecosystems, but for the questionnaire itself, because it's, like, really well self-contained to say the Cosmos stack is, generally speaking, Tendermint, Cosmos SDK, and or a smart contract engine. It's just a great opportunity to say to people who run multiple chains or organizations that run multiple chains, hey, what is the sum total of your experience across those multiple chains? And that's kind of the purpose of this questionnaire, I suppose, the one that you're talking about.
Has anyone put their hand up for an interview yet?
I don't think I have anybody in Cosmos, but I do have one or two people in other ecosystems who will remain anonymous.
So was the requirement that you didn't know them already, really?
Yeah. So they can know, because, I mean, the nature of these things is, like, it's it's posted to a channel of only 100 people. So the expectation is that they will know of you, because I'm a researcher who currently works in the field. But it would be difficult to, like, somebody I know very well, like anybody in this poddo, is just straight away a no. I'm already going to have a quite substantial ethics disclaimer at the end of the paper that uses this stuff, just to say, look, hey, you should be aware that these things are true. This is some of my background. You know, you might quite reasonably think that this is compromised from the get-go, in terms of like any opinion that I have, but the questionnaire itself is designed to, again, and again, the reason for having audio interviews is that you get a much more true account of a conversation. So I've been doing interviews as a journalist for like 15 years, and there's a reason that you're not typically allowed to do interviews over email. Even if somebody speaks another language, if they have any English, for example, you're expected to do it in English, and they have to struggle through, because the way that people talk and the ability to put somebody on the spot is like really, really important to getting an honest reaction that's not like overthought. And so the reason you do a semi-structured interview to support a questionnaire is that a questionnaire can reveal some things, but the audio interview should reveal supporting context. And you mentioned pointy questions. You know, that came about because, you know, we were talking about cybersecurity and stuff. You know, some of the stuff that we're working on in the context of, you know, rolling out cache and privacy measures and stuff at the scale of a country, you know, we're really talking about policy. We're not really talking about technical implementation, other than from a policy perspective, right? And so some of it is very theoretical. And if you say something like, oh, well, I happen to know that in Cosmos this happened, it's not theoretical. Somebody would say like, yes, but if you asked a validator, what would they say? You know, if you asked a validator, would you ever rewrite a ledger? What would they say? And I would say, well, they'd probably say no, because ledgers are immutable, right? And yet, and then they're like, well, but you're just saying it has happened. And I'm like, well, yeah. So you'd have to put in a second question saying, in your experience or in your time validating chains, have you ever actually, you know, be completely honest, have you actually ever participated in a forced rewrite of any kind? And the answer would probably be yes. And they're like, well, that's weird. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, every job has a credo. Every job has like professional standards, or like some platonic ideal of what it is we're doing here, you know?
Well, I think in the Cosmos ecosystem, there's also the social pressure of governance. So
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's not all based on your ideals as a validator. Like, you're running a business and you've got, you know, pressure from those who support you through their delegations to do what they want. So
I mean, there's a question in there, right, which that is in there, and I don't even know how we would answer it from a business perspective, which is, if you were faced with a tombstone event, would you seek to have that rewrite undone, for example, via governance? I don't remember the exact wording, but something like that. Like, you know my position, like from a technical standpoint, the tombstoning is the protocol acting correctly. But, you know, we have delegators. Like, if those delegators were up on us on Twitter being like, whoa, what are you going to do about this? Who knows what you would do in that situation, right? It's a difficult question, right? And it's completely outside of the protocol. Like, there's a platonic ideal of what you would do, right?
But with tombstoning as well, it's not always black and white. And there, you know, that is the protocol acting within its programming, but also the circumstances around how it occurs can have some bearing on whether or not, you know, the greater audience would think that it's defensible to untombstone them, you know, like.
Yeah. But, you know, the wider context here, right, is remember that, like, the whole point of these systems is that they solve double spend and they solve mutability, because they have to operate in a low trust environment where all of the stakeholders might situationally be adversarial, right? And the fact is, what we see in Cosmos that we've talked about in the podcast a lot, right, is that we see node operators behave as if these blockchains that should be zero trust and should be in some way adversarial are in fact consortium blockchains, i.e. they're a semi-collaborative or cooperative venture, right? Which makes sense, right? If you think about like the validator community, it is literally a small community. It's a small village. I mean, a small town, actually. It's about 2,500 validators in the Cosmos, isn't it? Give or take organizations or unique validators. Possibly even more, actually. I have to double check.
How did you come up with that number?
Mintscan has a total number of registered validators somewhere, I think, on one of the pages.
All right. Interesting.
I think it's about 2,500 uniques, but I don't know if that includes jailed and inactive. At some point, I think I asked one of the Cosmos Station guys, like, how do you arrive at this number? And they were really helpful and answered a couple of my questions, but I think there's still some other questions I have about, like whether jailed and whatever included in that number. There is, I think, a pure active validators number actually on the Mintscan validators.
It's been hard to navigate this thing.
Yeah, the new Mintscan is, some bits are really, really good, but there's a lot.
Yeah, friend of the podcast hates it, but I mean, it's got some good stuff in here though. It's just knowing where it all is, I guess.
Yeah, so they say 2,064 validators. So that must be currently active validators across 54 networks. Does that add up? I'm not sure that adds up.
Oh man, there is it's good to see some friends in some of the visualizations there, some friends of the Potto. I can't see where the total validators is. Oh yeah, validators 2,064 on 54 networks.
So that means there's roughly, yes, so if 2,054 divided by 54, 38. So that makes sense, right? So that means that, I don't know, something like 25 validators. Yeah. So what that number suggests is that there's quite a lot. I think it's this way around, right? Is that that's quite a small number given that most chains must have 100 validators or so in their set. So it must be that there's quite a bit of overlap with 2,000 validators, which makes sense because we know people are validating more than one chain. Yeah, so Luna, whoa. So Chorus One are way ahead of these other guys.
Yeah, they're, so is Cosmos Station as well.
Well, yeah, Cosmos Station is all the way over there, but, you know.
Yeah, Chorus One has just a lot of, you know, institutional staking as well. So
Coinbase is really big. Unit 410. What's Unit 410? Sounds ominous.
So Unit 410 they do... basically nodes for Polychain.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like, they're a separate business, but they provide the nodes for Polychain for staking, I think.
Some sort of arrangement. Go Lavender 5.
Yeah, L5 up there, Pokachu.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, Lavender is like doing pretty well.
I wonder if that means that Lavender at some point topped, they may be topped $1 billion then in assets under stake at some point if they're up at, no, they maybe got $500 million at some point, assets under stake.
Maybe. I think some of the bigger networks have come, you know, Johnny come lately rather than
right, okay,
during the bull.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because, yeah. I mean, it seems ridiculous because my kind of lukewarm energy to the validator business, but our peak assets under stake was like $300 million. So like Lavender being much more widely spread in both Near and Cosmos and whatnot, like maybe it was over $500 million at one point.
Well, yeah, if you take into account, yeah, I would say probably with Near and Aptos.
Yeah, yeah.
Good chance. Very good chance.
Well done. That's quite a few.
Hats off to the Erda man, the BD man.
Yeah. BD baby.
Oh, James has chimed in.
Oh, said James in the chat.
Close to 500 at some point. Don't think we hit it yet, he says. I think even at, we were close to 500 at some point not too long ago. We were well over 350, 400.
Right. Big say energy.
Yeah, big say energy. We had some decent injective energy. But the prices of, you know, of things of, you know, say's what, a third of what it used to be, maybe even, well, less. And then injectives more than half off its highs. So everything's sort of rolled back a bit in the last few months. But, you know, the will is strong and things continue to move forward.
Well, Aptos has a new Flappy Bird clone on it at the moment. So I think
Aptos does Flappy Bird clone.
Yeah, so I think that explains the, you know, the other day I was like, where's this positive energy coming from? I don't understand what's going on. And then I think that was the answer.
It was like Flappy Bird energy was actually what was going on. But hey, what are you gonna do?
I think, you know, it'd be nice to see some more test nets come online for the second half of the year.
I think we could just launch a shit chain.
Well, we could do that, yeah. But I don't need that kind of drama at this particular time of my life.
What, are you saying you need drama just before a wee tot arrives?
Yeah, as you pointed out earlier, my life's about to be turned upside down, just as Schultz's has been recently and yours was last year, and I'm sure we can all appreciate that time will be fleeting. And you know, I'm likely to be a grumpy little bitch for a while. Yeah.
Hey, well, you know, maybe you'll take it really well and you won't complain at all.
That's not likely. I am,
it's not like
I'm a born complainer. Yeah. If,
you are a complainer.
Yeah. If things are not going well, I will definitely be telling you about it.
Which I think maybe everybody on the podcast, apart from Schultzy, has a kind of latent complaining energy.
Yeah.
Schultzy's very much like, I feel like, especially with the child business, it feels very on brand to be like, I don't mean to complain, but, you know, should the child be doing X, Y, Z? And it's just like, no, that is... You're right to complain. That's completely normal, but it is also fine. But like, I don't know, like, to get to the point to even raise a concern, it feels like other people would be asking like way earlier, or would already be like, what the hell, man? He's kind of like, well, I've been up for 14 hours, I should probably message the lads in the group chat and ask if this is normal.
Yeah, I feel like
boys, but I have been up for 14 hours.
Yeah. His contributions to the dad chat are, they're quite considered and, you know, last resorty. I will be probably more like, this thing's been crying for half an hour. Is it neglect if I put it in a box outside?
Yes, is the answer.
What is the scale of neglect? Is there some sort of guidance on this? Can I... research.
It's the when the social worker refers you to the police, then it's neglect. That's
I did mention we have two security gates.
Well, I assume Australia, like, you must have health visitors and stuff, right?
So like with our I don't think they're like government spies, but we do have like the midwives will be visiting daily, I believe, for some time.
I hate to tell you this, but they literally are spies. So, I mean, not on you and your house and your whatever. So I just mean that there's a load of stuff they do as part of protocol where they'll be like, we need to change the nappy now and whatever, whatever, whatever. And there's a whole bunch of things that they make you do that are actually not for the reason they say it is. They're all about spotting visible signs of neglect.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well, because there's all sorts of things that people, I can't stress this enough, like, from the conversation we were having earlier, like, you don't sleep much in that first bit. And some people literally lose their mind. They have, like, psychotic episodes. Like in olden times, people, you know, the shaking baby syndrome, people would just shake a baby till it died. Like,
yeah, because they, you know, out of frustration, right? They can't make it stop.
Well, they just had, like, they literally just had, like, a hysterical episode. There's all sorts of stuff that they're looking for. They're looking for your stress level. They're looking for, like, postnatal depression in the mother and the father. They're looking for, in some cases, signs of psychological distress. They're also obviously looking for any marks on the child, any indication that anything's not there, you know, any indication that you're not, like, on top of changing them and dealing with their needs and blah 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 blah, blah. Because obviously, like, some of it can be like, oh, right, it seems like you are literally physically too tired to change this nappy correctly. Like, do you want some help? You know, and it can go all the way from there to, it looks like there are unexplained marks on this child. It's why if your child does something at home and they, like, take a thump, when you go into nursery the next day, like, the first thing you should say to them, and you're told to do this, by the way, so this is not, like, a secret thing. Like, you're told to say, like, oh, by the way, they had a fall yesterday. They knocked their head or whatever. Like, when we were,
by the way, Jimmy fell into the door 7 times during the night.
Yeah. And if if they got a bruise, you got to explain it, right? Like, that's literally safeguarding, because otherwise they do have to report to social services.
Yeah. I mean, probably.
I mean, well, they certainly do here. Like, so when little one decided to climb out of the bath, when I was quickly throwing one of his nappies in the bin, and this was when he was very small, he somehow managed to get out of the bath in, like, the 6 seconds just after he went to nursery. He'd only been there a little while, and he had a swollen egg on his head, like, maybe not the size of my fist, but it was a big one. He had a big, like, bump. The next day, I had to literally be like, he fucking climbed out of the bath. He climbed out of the bath. No, like, he climbed out of the bath.
He jumped. He's a jumper.
And they were like, well, they were like, oh, he's got a big bruise. And I was like, yeah, feel here. And they're like, the main egg was, like, underneath his hair right here. And they were like, oh, yeah, he fell right on his head. And I'm like, yeah, he fell right on his head. Notice the angle is consistent with my story. And it'd be very hard.
You need me to draw a diagram.
Yeah. Do you want to draw a diagram on where that egg is? Because, as you'll note, in order to get an egg in that exact spot, he would have to fall from roughly a bath height onto a floor. And as you can see, it's not consistent with any kind of striking injury from an adult, a piece of furniture that was neglectfully left out. It's really a cut and dry case of, like, this couldn't be avoided, you know? I can't emphasize that enough. I left them with the little diagram I'd drawn on isometric paper, which is totally not suspicious. And then I went about my day. And then, at lunchtime, when the police came over, they just happened to be passing and they thought they'd pop in for a cup of tea. We had a nice cup of tea and they asked some questions about, you know, whether or not I was
the police
dealing it. No, yeah, I'm joking, of course. But... imagine that. The police are just do you mind offering us a cup of tea? And you're like, yeah, come on in. What could this be?
Ask some very, very pointed questions about
the angle of your bath relative to the floor.
Wanted to bring up their, their measuring instruments to just have a very curious about this bath.
Yeah. Maybe they really want to talk about their shitcoin holdings. That's the real problem. Yeah. They're like, look, we invested heavily in judo. everybody said by Stargaze, we bought Juno instead.
So it will be quite interesting, I think, this whole scenario for my partner and I, being very based in training with engineering. We're quite mechanical, everything we do is very analyzed and mechanical. It's going to be like interesting throwing this variable into the mix, and how we will deal with that.
So you can, there are some things you can manage, like you know, infrastructure or whatever. Like we talk about the playbook quite a lot, which is that like there's only about, when they're really young, there's only about three things it can be. Like they're too hot, they need to poo, they need to eat, they need to sleep. I guess too cold, right? By implication as well, right? So five things maybe. There's not tons else it can be, but the difficulty is that the playbook gets bigger and fucking bigger as time goes on. So like by 18 months, it's like, when was last nap? When was last snack? When was last water? When was last milk? Where, you know, is it savory snack or sweet snack? Are they bored? Have they been out today? Is the weather bad? Are they teething? Are they ill for some other reason? Have they picked up something from nursery? There's like 18 different things it can be. So all that happens is you're running a playbook, but the playbook just gets longer all the time. And you're trying to intuit from, so, you know, there's that thing they always say with, you know, there's like investment ads you get on YouTube for like eToro or whatever. And they're like, past performance is no predictor of future results. Invest at your own discretion. Like kids are like the absolute definition of past performance is no indication of future results. Like just because they do something 100 times for some reason, the next time you're like, ah, this is the noise they make when they specifically want a bit of orange. Well, that's great, because I was going to have an orange anyway. So you can have a quarter of my orange. That's great. I'm going to be happy. You're going to be happy. You hand over the orange and they literally crush it in their palm and throw it on the floor and then resume crying. And you're like,
well, that wasn't it.
What just happened? This has always worked. This was your thing. This is, you made the orange noise. I gave you the orange. Like what?
Meanwhile, you're out a quarter of an orange.
Do you know what? The worst thing is when, if you're like out and about, especially when they're at this age and you can be out and about, like, and you have only one thing of a thing that you also like, and you give them part of it, and it turns out you were wrong about what they wanted, and they're not hungry, or they specifically don't want that thing or whatever, and they just throw it on the floor like it's nothing. And you're like, dude, that was the last one. It was literally the last. I would have eaten that.
That was mine, man.
Yeah, you're just like, now we're both unhappy. And all I wanted, I was sacrificing my happiness for you to be happy. And now we're both unhappy.
I mean, maybe that's actually making him happy. Is feeding on your unhappy energy.
Well, my 18-month-old is heading towards two and has started doing naughty things to test the limits. And so,
quite on purpose, in fact.
We have had our first few things of something like that, where I will be like literally sharing my lunch or my sandwich, and then we'll get a throw on the floor followed by hysterical laughter. And it's like, we are stuck on a train, man, and that's our only food. Why have you done this?
Sounds like the thing of nightmares.
I mean, you got to have a sense of humor about it.
So Ben Davis says, I imagine Null referring to the baby as the variable until it becomes predictable enough for a name. Funnily enough, we have been searching for a name, and the way we go about it is my partner considers a lot of names, writes them into the notebook, which I then read later and put lines through. So it's a fun game we play.
You've not got long left to decide.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, it might just come to me when we see it and be like, oh, this is a Paul.
Just like a names?
Or a Terry, yeah.
Jesus Christ, don't call it a Terry.
No, I mean, I'm just saying words now, but it'd have to be pre-vetted in the list and not got across through it. So,
yeah, I don't know about Australia, but also I had to go register the birth, and just as I was going out the door, my wife's like, "Hey, remember that if you put a joke name, it costs £200 to change it. And then for the rest of their life, whenever there's an official document and it says, have you ever been known by any other names? they're going to have to fill that in with your joke name. And over time, that means that they will come to love you less.
Jesus, got darker at the end.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, fair point. Fair point. Well made. I'm not going to put Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Oh, that's a nice name, though.
It's good. I did tell some of my friends from university when he was born. I put a picture and I was like, welcome, baby Primus. And some of them genuinely believed that I called the baby Primus. As my firstborn. Which, I don't know, I feel like, on the one hand, I love that I apparently am I'm credible enough that I can say something like that and people will believe me. On the other hand, I think it might reflect worse on me that they think I'm the kind of person that would call a baby Primus. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. The SERP is back with us for the listeners.
You guys, you're talking names?
Yeah. Yeah. SERP's finished his very important date.
I did. Cigarettes?
And I brought a bottle. Biggest regret on names? No regrets.
We were just saying that, so me and my partner haven't chosen a name yet. We're sort of going through the process of her suggesting names and me shooting them down miserably.
Yeah.
Through the notebook. And, you know.
Surely this is going to be like that, you know, the meme where it's just like, it's the kid in the car with his dad. And she's like, Dad, why is my sister called Rose? Oh, that's simple, son. That's because your mother's favorite flower is a rose. Oh, right. That makes sense, Dad. Thanks. No problem. Welcome to the jungle.
we did the same thing. We had a list of names, and then I think our firstborn, we didn't name. They were actually, we were getting ready to leave the hospital, and they were like, you have to give us a name. Like, it took us at least 2 or 3 days to like actually have them and like figure it all out and all that kind of stuff to figure it out. And then for our second, we knew as soon as we saw them. Like we had some names picked out, and as soon as we saw him, we knew which one. We both said at the same time, like we knew like this kid is definitely a whatever. And you know, my only advice,
Rabban Harkonnen, by the way, for the listeners, that was the name Rabban Harkonnen.
my only advice is always to, like, you're not naming the kid, you're naming the adult. Like, we have some, like, we get these names, that, like, with Y's instead of I's, or like an X in there and all this shit. And I think parents name kids as kids, like they're naming the baby. And so they use that name and they think about a kid, like a 4-year-old, right? Oh, it's like little baby this, right? And like, adorable. It's fucking adorable. But they get older, right? And then they're a grandpa with a name with 2 fucking Y's in it, or a Z because they didn't want to use the CKS. And it's like, it's Grandpa Jackson with 2 X's in his name. You're like, what the fuck, man? Like, so, like, always remember, you're not naming a child, you're naming an adult. And so, you
poor Buzz has been fucking spelling that shit for 80 years.
There's a ton of kids like that. Like we have a ton in our family as well, and elsewhere that we know that, like, I'm like, they're naming babies, like they're naming them like they're pets, right? Not like somebody who's going to grow up and have a family of their own and, like, you know, be 80 with a name with 2 X's in it and a Y instead of an I and shit. Like, just like, you know, think down the line a little bit, like on some of these.
I feel like you're targeting Elon right now.
I don't mind that name. That name's fine. I don't mind that name.
I mean, his kids' names is like fucking.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. 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 That was like, was that Michael Jackson started all that shit too? Didn't he start with that? With
Zappa, you know, Frank Zappa, Moon Unit Zappa, right?
Moon Unit. Yeah, Moon Unit.
I feel like that's just natural for people who are a bit fucking extra.
Yeah. Just like, I don't think weird names is so much. I think maybe I'm not really down on like weird names like that. I think I'm down on shitty spelling. That
cutesy weird shit. Yeah.
I think I'm just down on shitty spelling. Like, just the, I don't know. Maybe it's that. Jackson's a nice name, but 2 X's and a fucking, I don't know, whatever. Shit.
So you've got some suggestions in the chat now. Ben Davis says Jacob.
Oh yeah. Fuck yeah.
Rama says Maverick.
We have a Maverick in our family.
Really? No.
Like, Yeah.
Not one that you own, though.
No, not like our extended
family
extended.
Adjacent.
Yeah. Not
Maverick.
Not spelled like that. Spelled worse.
He's gonna whine it. Beast. I don't know if you can have two words as the first name.
The Beast.
Or is it like, you know, wrapped when you put it in quotes? Can you do that then?
Just put it.
So Ben Davis says that Joe Strummer's daughter's name is Jazz.
Like, that's a nice name. I don't mind that.
But actually. And I was going to say, the thing is, though, Jazz is a very, it's a very boring name for me because a lot of Sikhs are called Jazz. They're called Jasminder. And so
yeah.
They just call themselves Jazz. And so it's like, Jazz, completely normal name. It's not that normal, Frey. Holy shit. I met somebody the other day called Frey. I know Ethan Frey, obviously, but like it was their first name, as in like, I guess the Norse god Freyr, right? But they weren't called Freyr. They were called Frey. And they were like, hi, I'm Frey. And I was like, I'm the Frey. And they were like, they're like, what? And I was like, oh, my handle's the Frey. Like, I've been known by that since I was like 14 years old.
Yeah, like, what are you, a fucking teapot?
You're like,
yeah. They were just like,
No, Loser is my real name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is my real name. That's just your handle.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Fuck off. No, they were lovely. They were very nice, very nice person. But yeah. Probably should have kept that one an inside thought, actually. That's another one of the things that parenthood will do to you. Sometimes your inside thoughts come out to people in conversation. It's like,
come out to play. Yay.
Yeah, no pressure, though. You're just giving somebody, some new human, their identity for their whole lives. So, like, no pressure. Like, don't think about that too much, the way that they'll just be identified by that name that you're just throwing around.
You know, I don't feel pressure in the way other people feel pressure.
To be fair, I know quite a few people that have just changed their names. So, you know, if you really screw up, they can just deal with that shit later in life.
They'll still hate you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I mean, the chances of them hating is...
Just don't give them a name they can be bullied for in school.
I feel like these days, the chances of your kids not hating you is like pretty small.
Low. Yeah, it's pretty low.
Yeah.
Well, over the course of time. Not like long term, but like...
Yeah, they always hate you when they're a teenager because that's literally developmentally certain. But, you know, by the time you're 20, you're going to be watching sports or whatever together again. Yeah. It'll be a big deal.
Yes, it's honestly, as soon as they start borrowing your car, they're like best friends.
Yeah.
What do you need? What can I do for you? By the way,
can I borrow your car?
Can I take the truck?
I don't know, man. Can you buy me some beer
Saturday night?
What? You need to buy beer? It's Australia. I assume you just fucking have it. It doesn't grow on trees.
It just materializes in the fridge.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
it's a feature of Aussie fridges. It just materializes beer over time.
Yeah, I can never understand why I used to get served for alcohol when I was like, literally as soon as I had my growth spurt, I was over 6 foot tall and I still couldn't grow like a single fucking hair on my face, but I suddenly could get served for booze. And it was like, great, right. Phrase someone buying. No worries, sorted. And as I got older, I was like, I fucking looked like a child back then. How the hell did I get served? And then I went to college and I met some guys who by this point were 20 years old, right, or whatever, and they literally couldn't grow a single hair of facial hair on their face or whatever, and blah blah blah. And I was like, okay, there are literally some people who are like mid 20, then ultimately in middle 20s, and they look like 14.
Yeah, I'm still there struggling.
Difficult. That's somebody asked at the top of the show, what's with the beard? Have you been on walkabout, or is it just the moving in, unpacking?
Man, I just, you know, can't find my fucking clippers.
Because it's not even like a beard. It's a bit of a cry for help because it's like, you've got the Linux neck beard and everything. Like, even when I've got the big beard, I always get rid of the neck beard. You can't have the neck beard, man. You got to have some.
It's not a legit beard unless you got the neck beard. It's fucking.
No, but you work on Linux systems. You can't have the neck beard.
It's the only place where the hair grows in such a density that it looks like a beard. And the rest of it is just like fucking pubis scatimus across the landscape that is my face.
So So, on Movie Chat, have either of you seen Cocaine Bear?
No.
What? No. Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear. Good?
Pablo. Is that a children's fucking cartoon?
No, it's a horror. It's kind of like a horror film, I guess.
Is that a question?
That silence means that no one has fucking seen it.
it's entertaining, passes the time.
I did actually. I think I may have seen it.
So James in the chat says horror comedy is the classification
based very loosely on a true story.
Yeah, so they do make quite a bit of that actually. In the they're like, and this is based on a true story. It's like, well, so I think once upon a time, a dead bear was found with cocaine in its stomach, like a brick of cocaine, and I think it died of a cocaine overdose.
You know, I did watch this movie some time ago. I don't feel like it's a recent. But yeah, I do think I did watch it, and it was very big grade, which was great.
Yeah. Just like very, kind of very violent, gory, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
Definitely like wasn't quite.
Is that the one that starts out where the cocaine is distributed amongst the bush from an airplane crash?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do recall it now.
I was kind of expecting it to be a comedy when I went in.
I mean, it kind of, some of those movies are fucking so bad that they kind of are comedies.
Yeah, but I felt like it wasn't like it was trying to be bad, but it wasn't like trying to be great either. It was just, I don't know what
it was definitely targeting like an audience that just wants to watch something that's a little bit fucking not normal.
I think it was just targeting an audience that would watch anything called Cocaine Bear.
Or just, in fact, anything that had a picture. Indeed,
anything that had moving images and stimulation. Yeah.
That's a pretty
while they were just ripping another bog hit. quite possible.
The recent season finale of House of the Dragon. Anyone catch that yet?
Nope.
Nope. Not watching it. No. Mm-hmm. Well,
I've heard really mixed reviews.
Yeah, I mean, I showed up to a business meeting the other day, and the first thing that was asked was, "How do you feel about the season finale of House of the Dragon?" I'm like, "I haven't seen it yet," and that's a fucking weird thing to bring up. Friend of the podcast.
To bring up.
Hey,
that is a weird thing to bring up in a business meeting.
Yeah, well, you know, it's crypto. It did seem like.
Sorry, so it wasn't a business meeting. It was a crypto meeting, which is a very different thing.
Yeah.
A business meeting is when they find out you've got a kid and you have the obligatory 5 minutes of small talk about your kid before moving on to the capital markets.
You know, I thought it would be kind of fun to just like golf. Not tell your entire family that you're having a kid and just sort of be noticeably absent for a while and then just show up with a kid one day.
Yeah, sure. Like come to Christmas dinner or something with him. Oh, yeah, my son.
This is
my son. They'll completely still keep talking to you if you do that. It'll be fine.
I would like to introduce you to Radar.
with three A's and four R's. No, it's Radar.
Radar.
No, Mom, it's Radar. Say his name right, damn it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Stop being an asshole.
Stop being an asshole. Why would you respect our decisions?
Did you go, you went on the train all over America, didn't you, Noel? Did you go past Radar O'Reilly's hometown on the Amtrak?
What? I have no fucking clue. The
most fucking random goddamn thing.
What?
It's in Indiana. Yeah, I know. Yeah, MASH. You know it's what MASH is. Indiana somewhere, yeah. Isn't it? Is it Indiana?
It's on. It's just off the Mississippi on the Chicago to Denver railroad line. It's Iowa.
Oh, it's Iowa, right? Something like that.
Otter Tum
Noir.
What, Chicago to Denver? No, Yes.
No, it won't be.
No.
It won't be Iowa. It will be. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. It might be Iowa. Sorry. Not Ohio. Yeah. It might be Iowa. Yeah.
Look, I did quite a few of the Amtrak lines, and my only review statement is don't do it ever.
They're fucking awful, man. They're awful.
It's not even a cheap way to get around. So, no.
It's expensive, yeah. And it's slow, and it's loud, and it's shitty.
Yeah, I mean, it was an experience that I can't recommend.
Canadian Rail, like through the Canadian Rockies and out west, that's a beautiful spot. And you went to Denver, but didn't you continue on and go through the Rockies as well? Like even beyond, didn't you go to the West Coast from there? I don't remember.
All East Coast from Denver east. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You started in Denver. That's right. Right.
Flew to the West Coast. Yeah. Was going to catch the train, but also didn't want to end my life during the trip. So
yeah.
Ottumwa, Iowa.
Yeah, it is Iowa. Yeah. Who cares? It's a make-believe character. What are you talking about?
Who cares?
It's like, did you stop and see SpongeBob SquarePants house? It's a make-believe thing. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, so, you know, there was interesting people on the train. The Amish. I've never had a lengthy conversation with an Amish before, and had multiple around a certain, you know, area of the country. Mm-hmm. The overnights are not great. You know, it's very difficult to sleep on the Amtrak.
Did you get a sleeper?
No. And so there was this lingering fear of a stabbing as well. The Amtrak stations were quite interesting. I met several recently released criminals. One had his eyeballs tattooed. Quite a nice fellow, though. Wanted to purchase some items I didn't have. So
wanted to purchase some items, chiefly narcotics that I did not have.
Unfortunately, I had to regretfully inform him. I was out of stock at the moment.
Yeah, but after 4 hours in the terminal, he did manage to find some. So.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And then quite courteously offered, you know.
Oh, he didn't. Came back around.
Yeah, he came back around. He's like,
oh, look at that. He's like, well, he didn't have any
wines off this fucking hooker.
He's trying to make a little money on there too.
A little bit busy at the moment, staring at the wall.
It's funny.
Waiting for my limo. Yeah.
In a bull market, I mean, maybe you were waiting for the limo.
Maybe. Did I ever tell you about when, I mean, I would have whinged about this in the group chat, when I showed up in, a city. What was that one? It's like some random ass place. At like midnight on the Amtrak, and I got a Uber to my accommodation. And you know how they've got like the easts and the wests on the streets over there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they dropped me off on like the wrong one. Mm. Yeah. I was like, so I walked down to the other one. Now, having seen this place the next day, and had I arrived during the day and seen the area that I was in, I perhaps would not have made that walk. but in the context of what I could see in the dark, it didn't seem that bad. But when you can see the greater area that, you know, the dark was obfuscating, maybe I wouldn't have walked. So anyway, I walked, and then I got to the accommodation. And I was told that the entrance code to the accommodation was the last 4 digits of my phone number. Why someone would fucking torture me with this, I don't know. But, you know, they didn't have my phone number. They had the phone number of the intermediary company that booked the accommodation.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm at this place at 12:30 a.m., midnight. And trying to enter the code and or call, you know, the people responsible for fucking getting me into this thing, which were non-responsive, understandably, on a Wednesday morning. And so I ended up then having to walk back the direction I just came, but a little bit further and around the corner to a hotel, which was accepting, new entrants, and then pay, an obscene amount of money to stay in a trash hotel for 6 hours.
Where was this?
Look, if you talk amongst yourselves for a moment, I will find out the place.
No, I don't mean that. Like, what city?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking up.
Oh, you don't know?
You don't even know what city.
What country?
It was the US of A.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah,
it was in sense. The United States of fuck you.
Yeah. It was on the way to Washington. Where are we? Charlotte. Shit, man.
It's really not that important.
Yeah, I kind of like it's. There was a movie about that. It's just the. Sorry, a TV show. The name of the TV show was this town. Fucking Atlanta. Yeah. Yeah. Atlanta in the southern burbs, man. It was not fucking a good idea. But anyway, long story short, I still have all of my kidneys.
There you go.
Yeah. So. Didn't wake up in an ice bath anywhere.
America really does do that thing where you go from being like the safest you've ever been and like chill as fuck to being like Ralph Wiggum on the bus. I'm in danger. Like really in the blink of an eye.
I'm in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, me and my partner have traveled to Eastern Europe, with not much of a plan. And I think that's the epitome of sketchy, some of those areas.
Which bit of Eastern Europe?
Like Romania, Bulgaria.
Oh, right, yeah.
But when you get out of the, curated visitor area of the city, CBD, and start to venture out when some of those areas, very little people speak English or want to talk to you in English. And the services become like a little less available. Like we were just trying to leave the city in I think it was Romania. Yeah. And it was more difficult than you could imagine just trying to get a fucking bus out of Romania.
Excuse me, where's the exit?
We walked all over Bucharest for like...
Where's the exit of 8 hours
with our luggage, just trying to find something to get on that had wheels that would get us the fuck out of there.
I have money. Where's the exit?
We got United States dollars. Can someone point me to the exit?
Have you not seen this guy? He lives in a who the fuck do you think you are house. Like he should be out of here and into some kind of luxury residence now.
So we hired a car there.
No, look at you.
And it was fucking wild. Like that shit was wild, man.
Could it do 50 hectares as a single liter a tank of gasoline?
Kerosene.
50 hectares. A tractor?
What country is this from?
No longer exists.
So I mean, the great thing about Romania is that there seems like the road rules seem to be like a little bit like
you're on your own
up to interpretation.
Yeah.
And you can fuck up pretty entirely and everyone will just get out of your way. Like you could probably decide to do a U-turn on a highway and people will just drive around you.
That guy's drunk.
Yeah. It's like, oh, another one of those guys.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. In the, in Bucharest, in like fucking peak hour traffic, I actually merged onto the opposite lane of traffic somehow. And people just drove around me until I got back into like no honks. They just fucking drove around and went, oh, that's pretty normal. A motorbike ran into our hire car from behind, just fucking plowed into it when I was stationary. And he was probably drunk. Anyway. Just backed up, looked at it, and then fucked off. At which point I was like, fuck, I hope there's not much damage back there.
That could very much happen in France, though.
Yeah, I mean, the car was pretty sturdy. It didn't make that noise. Much to it. It popped out some plastic that I just popped back into place, and then it's good to go. Returned it to the hire company with a bit of road rash from the cyclist, the motorcyclist.
They're fine.
But yeah, it was an experience that I don't want to have again.
So a glowing review then of your time in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it's an experience that I'm glad I had. Yeah. Just not one that I want to have again.
Well, the good news is that as in a couple of weeks, you won't be able to have that experience again for probably about 10 years. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, for yourself,
it's always a difference between not wanting to have an experience and unable to have an experience.
Do you know what I found quite interesting is like the, you know, the hands that are currently in the air to be like, oh yeah, like if you want to go out for dinner, we can look after the kid and fucking. I'm like, man, once you meet this cunt, you're not going to fucking know him. Like 2 hours is going to be fucking torture for you. So that's I'm funny. Pretty sure that hand's going to be up once and never again.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, for the first like whatever 6 months, it's not even possible. So,
one of my partner's siblings wants to have their wedding in another country, mm-hmm. in like at the end of the year, and they're like, "Oh, you coming?" And I'm like, "Oh, fucking probably not."
Like, are you serious?
Do you not like it? Is this the question that you're asking me, expecting like a good outcome from? Yeah. It's not going to be a good outcome for me. I can't imagine a scenario where that might happen, but you know, the door has been left ajar just in case, but I can't imagine that we'll be stepping through that door within 6 months of having a kid. So, but yeah, I don't know. Have you guys done any travel with a baby of less than 6 months old?
It's actually easier than traveling when they get older because it's like, it's just maintenance, right? So they can sleep 2 hours and shit and eat anywhere. So
we should like book some Eastern Europe shit.
I mean, the plane, is miserable.
4 months is a good time to go because they're still at the age you can just put them down.
Yeah.
I can't emphasize enough. You put them down and they're like, they're literally like, cool. I can't move. Can't do anything. Can't fuck up. Can't be dangerous. Cool.
Can't be dangerous.
I feel like the plane trip though,
it's miserable.
If it was like 14 hours, it's going to be pretty miserable for everyone else.
No, you can't. You can do like snatches of 1-2 hours tops.
Yeah.
You can't do 14. Are you high?
Everything that we did was drivable, which for you is, you know, you're kind of fucked.
No way.
But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can, you know, driving the fucking down the road is like 10 hours. So.